The Gospel of John, chapter number 19. And let's go ahead and stand together. And we're going to read the first six verses. John chapter 19, verses 1 through 6. The Bible says here, "Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they put on him a purple robe and said, 'Hail, King of the Jews!' And they smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto them, 'Behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him.' Then came Jesus forth wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate said unto them, 'Behold the man.' When the chief priests, therefore, and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, 'Crucify him! Crucify him!' Pilate saith unto them, 'Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him.'" I find no fault in him. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I ask you please to take your word and use it in our hearts this morning. We have a wonderful Savior. Wonderful God, and I find no fault in you. I find no fault, Lord, in the things you've done in my life. I find no fault in the trials or difficulties you've taken my family through. I find no fault in your wisdom or your ways or your word, Lord. You are wonderful. And you are perfect. And your way is always the best way. Father, speak to us today, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. There in John chapter 19 and verse number 5, Pilate saith unto them, "Behold the man. Behold the man." You know what we've got to do in this life? We've got to keep our eyes on Jesus, don't we? We've got to behold the man. Behold Jesus. He's more than just a man. He's the Son of God. He's the Savior of the world. And when you have problems, what you and I ought to do is look to Jesus and behold the man. Look at him. Keep our eyes on him. In the book of Hebrews, chapter number 12, verses 2 and 3, you can turn there if you want. I'll read it to you. Some of you are familiar with these verses. Hebrews 12, 2 and 3. It says, "Looking unto Jesus." Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, "who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." And then verse 3 says these words, "For consider him." Consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Think about it. Jesus Christ, the author and the finisher of our faith, Jesus Christ, who we've talked about in these recent weeks, he knew everything that was to come. He knew what was going to happen to him. He knew that he would be betrayed. He knew that he'd go to the cross. He knew it all, but yet he went through it. Why? Because he considered the joy that was set before him. For the joy that was set before him, thinking about what it would be like one day to be magnified again, to be glorified again with his Father. Thinking about how the Father would be glorified through the death of his Son, Jesus Christ. Thinking, and I believe even maybe looking forward to what it would be like to be able to ascend and be back with the Father once again. Because of what was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. And now he's what? Set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now he's sitting down again next to the Father, sitting down right where he belongs, right in his rightful place, in his deserved place. Listen, we're to consider him when we go through trials and when we go through difficulties and when there's maybe things in life that we maybe want to question or wonder about whether the Christian life is worth living. Hey, it's worth living. Consider the joy set before you. Consider what awaits you in eternity. Consider your home in heaven. Consider the judgment seat of Christ. Consider it. Think about it. And as we go through this life, can we consider him? Can we consider Christ? Consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. Consider him that was willing to be mocked and reviled and scourged and beaten and whipped. Consider him that was willing to bear all our sins, to bear all our iniquity. Consider him. He bore our offenses. He bore our sins. Can we consider him? Lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Times when we maybe want to be weary, when we consider fainting, when we consider giving up, when we consider quitting, when we've maybe been offended, when we've maybe been hurt, when we've maybe been mistreated. Hey, why not consider him who was mistreated for us? Consider for him who bore our sins and died for our sins. When you've got problems, hey, look at Jesus and behold the man. Behold the man. We sing a song, oh soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. The chorus says, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Hey, I tell you this morning, behold the man. Consider him. Consider him. When you're weary, behold the man. When you're heartbroken, behold the man. When you've got troubles, behold the man. When you've been hurt, hey, behold the man. When you've got problems, behold the man. You think you've got problems. Behold the man. Consider him. Consider what Christ went through for you. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Consider what he went through for you and for me. Listen, you can make it no matter what you're going through. You can make it. Consider what he endured for us. Listen, you can make it no matter what burden or weight you are carrying in life. Consider him. What an awesome God we have. What a wonderful Savior we have. Look back to John chapter 18 with me, if you would. John chapter 18, and we're going to look back there at verse 28. And I want you to see some of this story. We began reading in 19, chapter 19, but the story begins and the events that are unfolding begin in chapter 18. When the Jews brought Jesus before Pilate at the judgment hall, Pilate said, I find no fault in him. I don't see anything wrong with him. I see no reason why he should be put in jail. I see no reason why he should die. What do you have against this guy? I find no fault in him. Look at what it says back in John 18, verse 28. Then led they Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment. And it was early, and they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. Pilate then went out unto them and said, what accusation bring ye against this man? They answered and said unto him, if he were not a malefactor, in other words, if he were not some sort of criminal and so on, we would not have delivered him up unto thee. Then said Pilate unto them, take ye him and judge him according to your law, according to the Jewish law. The Jews therefore said unto him, it is not lawful for us to put any man to death, that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spake, signifying what death he should die. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said to him, art thou the king of the Jews? And Jesus answered him, sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? Pilate answered, am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Verse 36, Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born. And for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate saith unto him, what is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto all the Jews and saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all. I've examined him and I find no fault in him. I've considered what he has to say. I've heard some of the accusations, but listen, I find no fault in him at all. I find nothing wrong with him. It doesn't matter what some may say. I find no fault in him. Jesus Christ was accused, but listen, he was not guilty. Jesus Christ was accused of having done wrong, but Pilate found no fault in him. Jesus Christ was put to death, but not for crimes that he had done. No, he died for our sins. Jesus Christ, listen, he was not guilty. He had done no wrong. There was no fault found in him. But he died on the cross for you. He died on the cross for me to pay the penalty of our sins. You and I can be saved today. We can be forgiven today. We can have eternal life today. Why? Because of what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross of Calvary. You and I can be saved. We can be born again. We can become the children of God. We can have all our sins forgiven. Why? Because there was no fault found in our Savior. If there would have been fault found in him, if there would have been wrong found in him, if there would have been sin found in him, then he could have paid for his crimes. Paid for his wrong, but there was no fault in him. He never sinned. He never did wrong. Pilate said in John 18:38, I find in him no fault at all. Pilate said again in John 19 and verse 4, behold, I bring him forth to you that ye may know that I find no fault in him. John chapter 19 there in verse number 6. Again, he said, I find no fault in him. Just as Pilate found no fault in Jesus, I find no fault in our Savior. I find no fault in Jesus Christ. I find no fault in him. Let me share with you a couple thoughts quickly. Number one, I find no fault in his birth. I find no fault in his birth. He was born of a virgin. Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. Listen, if Jesus had a human father, then he would have been an ordinary man just like you and me. If he would have been born of a human father, he would have had a sinful nature. He would have needed to be saved. He would have been incapable of saving others. But his birth was miraculous, wasn't it? He was born of a virgin. Isaiah chapter number 7. Isaiah chapter number 7 and verse number 14 says this. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Emmanuel. In Matthew chapter 1 and verse 18, of course, that was fulfilled. When Jesus Christ was conceived in Mary's womb, the Bible says that his mother Mary was espoused, or in other words, engaged to Joseph. Before they had come together, before they were married, before they'd come together in intimacy, and she was found with child of the what? The Bible says of the Holy Ghost. This was no ordinary baby. This was no ordinary child. Listen, he was virgin born. He is the Son of God. He is deity. I find no fault at all in his birth. This isn't just some, well, nice story, but people have been telling some lies about it. There was some funny business going on. No, there was no funny business going on. There was no smucking around here, no messing around, no premarital stuff here. This was a miraculous baby. Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. He is the Son of God. I find no fault at all in his birth. No fault. Number two, I find no fault in his life. I find no fault in his life. He was perfect. He was sinless. He's the Son of God. Turn to Hebrews chapter 4 with me, if you would. Hebrews chapter 4. I find no fault in his birth. He was born of a virgin. I find no fault in his life. He was perfect and sinless. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 15 says, for we have not an high priest, which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Jesus never sinned. Jesus never did wrong. He was tempted, yes, in the wilderness by Satan, but he never sinned. He was without sin. Listen, all men have sinned, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, right? All men have sinned, but not Jesus. Why? Because Jesus is the Son of God. And Jesus never sinned, and Jesus never did wrong. And what Pilate said was true. I find no fault in him. I find no fault in him. in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21. You may mention this later. You kind of reference it this morning, but let me just read this verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 21. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse number 21, the Bible says, "For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Describe that a little bit, maybe even last Sunday perhaps, but didn't read this verse. Listen, he became sin for us who knew no sin. Jesus Christ was sinless. He was perfect. He was holy. He was just. He never did anything wrong. When he died on the cross, it wasn't because he deserved it. When he died on the cross, it wasn't because he was a criminal. When he died on the cross, it was for our sins. I find no fault in his life. Jesus Christ took all the sins of the world upon himself on the cross, but he himself knew no sin. It was only a sinless, perfect sacrifice that could pay for the sins of mankind. And it was only the Son of God that could be that sacrifice. It had to be someone sinless. It had to be a perfect lamb. It had to be a perfect substitute. And that's what Jesus Christ was for us. If Jesus Christ was not born of a virgin, and if Jesus Christ was not the perfect, sinless Son of God, then he would have been just an ordinary man, and he could not have been my Savior. Listen, I find no fault in his birth. He was born of a virgin. I find no fault in his life. He was perfect and sinless. Number three, I find no fault in his resurrection. Turn with me over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Number three is this. I find no fault in his resurrection. He was victorious over death. He was victorious over death. Listen, death could not hold him. The grave could not contain him. It doesn't matter what they put on that tomb. It didn't matter if a stone was put in front of it and sealed, right? That stone was rolled away, wasn't it? I find no fault in his resurrection. He was victorious over death. Notice what the Bible says. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and look at verse 14. "And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain. Be empty, it'd be meaningless, it'd be worthless. If Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain." Verse 17. "And if Christ be not raised, then your faith is vain. You're yet in your sins." Oh, if Christ didn't rise from the dead, I'd still be in my sins. I'd still have to pay the penalty for my sins. Oh, but his resurrection proves who he was and said he was as the Son of God. Look down at verse number 57. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 57 says, "But thanks be to God. But thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through" what? "Through our Lord Jesus Christ." It's not even a what, it's a who. "Thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Let me tell you something. The resurrection is absolutely essential to the gospel. If Christ did not raise from the dead, then my preaching would be in vain. If Christ did not raise from the dead, then your faith would be in vain. I find no fault in his resurrection. He was victorious over death. The story doesn't end just with Jesus, you know, dying on Calvary, dying at Golgotha. It doesn't end with the beatings that he took. It doesn't end with the spears in the side and being nailed to the cross. And he's not hanging on a cross. And he's not buried in a tomb still. No. Up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose a victor. I find no fault in his resurrection. I find no fault in his resurrection. He was victorious over death. I said, number one, I find no fault in his birth. He was born of a virgin. Number two, I find no fault in his life. He was sinless and perfect. Number three, I find no fault in his resurrection. He was victorious over death. Number four, I find no fault in his promise of salvation. I find no fault in his promise of salvation. Let me tell you something. Salvation is eternally secure. I believe that it is secured by God. We are kept by God. We are saved by God when we put our faith in Christ. John 3 and verse 36 tells us that if we believe on the Son, then we have everlasting life. It's a possession. That's a promise to us. John 3:15 and 16 tells us that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life, or have everlasting life. Verse 16. Listen, I have it. It is mine. Why? Because I've put my faith and my trust in Jesus Christ and him alone. I find no fault in his promise of salvation. In John chapter 5 and verse 24, it tells us that if we believe, we have everlasting life. And we shall not come into condemnation, but rather we are passed from death unto life. We pass from death to life. Listen, I know that my salvation is secure. I find no fault in his promise of salvation. John 3 and verse 18 tells us that he that believeth is not condemned. We are no longer condemned. I'm in Christ Jesus. John chapter 10 and verse 28 tells us that Christ gives unto us eternal life and we shall never perish. Listen, that's a promise from God. I find no fault in the promise of salvation. I find no fault in his salvation. Romans chapter 10 and verse 13, if we call upon the name of the Lord, tells us that we shall be saved, doesn't it? That's a promise from God. Romans chapter 8 and verse 38 and 39 tells us that nothing can separate us from the love of God. From the love of God. In 1 Peter chapter 1 verses 3 to 5, it teaches us that because of the resurrection of Christ, each believer has a lively hope. We have a lively hope. And the word hope in the Bible is not really like our the way we maybe more casually use the word hope nowadays. Sometimes we use the word hope nowadays in a sense of, you know, I wish for something. I wish for something. But the word hope in the Bible always had a much stronger meaning to it. It was a sure confidence that we had in Christ and a sure confidence that we had in God. And when I have this lively hope, it's an expectation of what's awaiting me. It's an expectation of what is still to come, what is going to be fulfilled, what is going to be completed, what I know and what I believe God is going to do. Each believer has a lively hope for a wonderful inheritance reserved in heaven, and it promises that we're kept by the power of God. John 14 tells us that Christ has gone to prepare a place for us in heaven. Listen, that's a promise from God. I find no fault in the promise of salvation. I stand here today believing with all my heart that my dad is in heaven today. I believe with all my heart that my grandparents are in heaven today. I believe with all my heart that my brother is in heaven today. Why? Because the promises of Scripture, because of my hope, because of my faith in God's Word, I believe in the promise of salvation. And I find no fault. I find no fault in it. It's secure. Salvation is eternally secure. Salvation is not something that God gives us and then takes away, gives us and takes away. You know, we earn it one day, we lose it the next day, we have it one week, we lose it the next. No, salvation is eternally secure because it's been secured by Christ. We're kept by the power of God. Listen, I find no fault in his promise of salvation. I said, number one, I find no fault in his birth. He was born of a virgin. I find no fault in his life. He is perfect and sinless. He's the Son of God. Number three, I said, I find no fault in his resurrection. He was victorious over death. He defeated death and hell. He defeated the grave. He defeated sin for us. Number four, I find no fault in his promise of salvation. Salvation is eternally secure. It's eternally secure. By him. Number five, I make this statement. I find no fault in his promises. I find no fault in his promises. They are always true. They are always true. When God makes a promise, you can depend on it. When God makes a promise, you can believe it. God always keeps his word. God's word is always true. I find no fault in his promises. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 18 tells us that it is impossible for God to lie. Titus chapter 1, BJ, and verse number 2 tells us, hey, God cannot lie. You might have some people that they're going to lie to you one day, but not God. God will never lie to you. God always tells the truth. You know, we say there's nothing my God cannot do, and that's true. But you know what the Bible does say? There's one thing that is impossible for God to do, and that's to lie. He cannot lie. He is truth, and he always tells the truth. I find no fault in his promises. He keeps his promises. His word is always, always true. I find no fault in his promises. I find no fault in his birth. I find no fault in his life. I find no fault in his resurrection. I find no fault in his promise of salvation. I find no fault in his promises. Number six, I find no fault in his providence. His providence. God is still in charge. God's providence, meaning God oversees all things. God knows what's going on. You know, God is interested in your life. And God knows what's going on in your life. And there are things at times that we might question and we might wonder, why did this happen? Or why did God allow this? Listen, I find no fault in God's providence. God is in charge. And what God does is always good. And what God does is always right. And there may be times when we go through it where we don't understand it right away. But you must believe that what God does and his ways, they are always good. They are always right. They are always best. I believe in his providence. I find no fault in his providence. What he's done and what he's allowed and what happens in our lives, he has a purpose behind it. He has a reason behind it. You may not always know the reason why. God allows everything that happens in our life. Don't question God. Believe that God has a purpose. Believe in God's plan. You can trust him. Look at Romans chapter 8 with me. Romans chapter 8 and verse number 28. Romans chapter 8 and verse number 28. It says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. To them who are the called according to, what is those next two words? His purpose. Read it again. Think about it. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God. To them who are the called according to whose purpose? His purpose. Now, sometimes the things that we may go through, we may think, well, that's not what I wanted. Well, that's not necessarily something that I'd like. But all things work together for good according to his purpose. According to his purpose. I find no fault in his providence. God's in charge. The Lord directs. The Lord's ways are always perfect. Before we start questioning God or jumping on God or accusing God or finding fault with God, can we think about what Pilate said? I find no fault in him. Listen, I don't find fault in my God. I don't find fault in my Savior. I don't find fault in God's plan. I don't find fault in God's ways. Are there times where my steps are faulty and my ways are faulty and the things that I do are wrong? Sure is. Is there times where you and I can take wrong steps? Times where you and I could step out of God's will? There sure is. But I find no fault in God's ways. And I find no fault in God's plans. And I find no fault in his will. And I find no fault in the things that he allows or the things that he brings. I believe he has a purpose in it. And I believe he uses those things, even as the next verse will talk about, to try to conform us and transform us into the image of his son, Jesus Christ. To try to accomplish God's purpose and will in our lives. I find no fault. I find no fault. Let's not be ones who start finding fault with God. Start finding fault with Christ. I find no fault in him. I find no fault in him. These statements this morning, very simply, I find no fault in his birth. He was born of a virgin. And I find no fault in his life. He was the perfect, sinless Son of God. And I find no fault in his resurrection. He was victorious over death. It's not just, you know, some story that ends with the death and burial. No, there's a resurrection, a mighty resurrection. Up from the grave he arose. I believe it's true. I believe the scriptures. I believe the word of God. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, don't you think Don't you think the world would have produced evidence of it? Don't you think all the Jews and all those that hated Jesus, if they could have, would have, hey, produced a body? Try to say, hey, you stop this. Stop believing all this. Oh, they hated it. They got upset, so many of them, when people began to believe in this Christ. Why was there no body to produce? Well, because he rose from the dead. And he ascended and he went to heaven. There's no fault. The story of the death, burial, and the resurrection of Christ, there's no fault in it. It's just like the Bible said. Jesus rose from the dead. We have a great Savior. I find no fault in his birth. I find no fault in his life. I find no fault in his resurrection. I find no fault in his promise of salvation. It's eternally secure. It's not something that he gives us and then, you know, he comes back a little while later saying, I think I want to take that back. No, he never stops loving us. He keeps us saved by his power. I find no fault in his promise of salvation. I find no fault in his promises. They're dependable. They're always true. They can be trusted. They can be believed. And last, number six, I find no fault in his providence. His ways are good. His ways are best. Romans chapter 8 there in verse number 28 says this, and we know all things work together for good. To them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Believe that. Don't become an accuser of God. Don't become one who tries to start finding fault in God and finding fault with Christ. I encourage you to be like Pilate and say, I find no fault in him. I find no fault in him. Trust him. Believe in his purpose and plan for your life. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I do thank you so much for your precious word. I thank you for the testimony of Pilate to say, I find no fault in him. And Father, I pray that would be our own testimony, that would be what we would testify as well. I find no fault in him. I find no fault in my God. I find no fault in my Christ. I find no fault in my Savior. I find no fault in his birth or his death or his resurrection. I find no fault in his life. I find no fault in his salvation that he offers me. It's secure. I know that. I find no fault in his promises. They're true. I can believe them. I can trust them. I can always depend on his word. I find no fault in your providence. I find no fault in your ways. I find no fault in your plans. I believe they're good. I believe they're always best for me. Even at times when I don't understand what I may be going through. May we, like Pilate admonished, may we behold the man. Look to Christ. Keep our eyes on him. Consider him. Lest we be wearied and faint in our minds. Father, help us to keep our eyes on our Savior. Let us not be ones that find fault in you, or in your ways, or in your plan, or in your will, in our lives.